In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
To see you highly lifted up, you are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and Lord, as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you highly lifted up, you are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and Lord, as we sing, holy, 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 we want to see you, we want to see you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let's start from there. Identity is the foundation for purpose. In fact, the root of conviction as you go through life is the certainty of your identity, that you are not confused of who you are. It's very important. That's the reason why the first thing that opens to you in Christ is the revelation of your identity when you come into Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when you encounter Jesus, that's the first thing that is revealed. It's just that it is revealed in a way that you may not understand. And that's because you will need what the Bible calls spiritual understanding, because what will be shown you at salvation is not something you'll be able to process with your carnal mind. So when you come to Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, he begins a work of transforming your mind. First thing is first, so that you understand what he has said concerning you, the image he's showing you, because that's who Jesus is. When we see him, we become as he is. But we will not all become completely who he is, because who he is infinite. Jesus is the word of God. He existed before the beginning. Jesus is the essence of life himself. Everything was made through him. That means everything has its identity and its image from him. So every one of us, millions or billions of us, God has shared his life to manifest in us in different ways. But when you bring everything together, it's like a collage. Those of you who did fine art, from a collage, you'll be able to tell what image is being shown. So when you bring us together, we reflect him in his fullness. But individually, we've been given fragments. And it is that one that has been given to you that is your identity, that is revealed to you at salvation. And it may be revealed once, but your understanding of it will grow with time. Because every potential you have as a believer, spiritually or naturally, that will be used to serve God and promote the kingdom of God, is hidden in that image, that identity. That's the reason why when a drummer can encounter Christ and becomes an apostle, because in his mind, he thought that his natural talent or gift is what he was born to serve God with. No, that's what you picked up in your human nature as a descendant of Adam. But when you come into Christ, there's another one that is revealed. The main one and it's revealed from within you. Now, I want to help us understand something. And as you grow in God, you discover that more of divine revelations are inward. God will speak to you many more times inwardly than outwardly. As a matter of fact, every external means by which God speaks to you is to confirm what is residing in your spirit. And these are things that existed before you were formed. He said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto nations. And my belief is that in this conference, whatever God has put inside of you will come alive. Now, I'm not talking to women and alone. I'm also talking to men who came. Whatever God has put in you, the real you, will come alive and begin to birth a level of confidence and conviction. That your world will know that you have met a supernatural force. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I want you to notice that the word man there, God didn't call a name. He used the pronoun man. It is not good that man should be alone. And as I read this scripture again and again, I realized that God's intention for making a woman was primarily because he needed a system of help and support for the man he had created. Or he needed the expression, because this is possible in the kingdom of God. So he needed an earthly expression, imaged in a human vessel, what divine help and support is. Because the Holy Ghost is called the word. It's called what? Any woman that doesn't know the Holy Ghost is the helper is a carnal woman. Just the way man represents Christ on earth, and God gave authority to man to exemplify what he is, as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. It's the same way to mirror the person of the Holy Ghost, because God knows that mankind and anything created on earth without heavenly assistance cannot function or fulfill their unique divine purpose. So help is a system in heaven. And that system is embodied in the Holy Spirit. So God decided to create an earthly figure that will represent that system of help. And he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a help suitable. Give us an Amplify. Oh, you will love Amplify. Do you need help? The person on that system, I'm sure he's a man. If it was a woman, he would have been faster. Now the Lord God Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory that the man should be alone. That means as a man, you can thrive alone. But God said there will be a limited capacity displayed. It is not sufficient. It is not satisfactory. You will not be at your A game if all through your life as a man, there is no assistance or system of help divinely. So what did God say? I will make him a helper, meet, suitable, adapted. Take note of the word adapted. That's why God will not give you, if you are getting married, God will not give you a man that just fits your spec. That thing you call spec. I don't know where we dug it from. I believe it doesn't exist in heaven. Because all the while that I've been in heaven, I've not heard. And when I say I've been in heaven, I'm not talking about a spiritual encounter. The Bible says, he that is from above is above. That's where we are. John chapter 3, I think verse 14 or so, he said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Meanwhile, he was on earth talking as at that time. The Son of Man which is in heaven, but he was standing on earth. So when you are born again, you begin to live from heaven. You live more in heaven than on earth. Yeah. He said, I will make a helper. So that thing speck. God will give you somebody you will need to adapt to. You know why? Because you need something that may become like a challenge at the instance to stretch you and break you so that what God put in you will come out. Because your spirit doesn't have elastic limit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your spirit does not have limit. It can expand. In fact, the reason why your spirit now is trapped in a place is because of this body. But you see, there is a technology in the spirit, in the glory, that, and it happens maybe when you are worshiping or when you are praying, that your spirit trapped in this body can expand beyond this body. That's the reason why if I'm preaching here, I can decree something and somebody may fall down somewhere. I don't even need to decree. I can be preaching now and somebody may be under the same influence. Why? Because by the glory of God, my spirit has expanded beyond this body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The same way you can expand your spirit to a place if you are interceding for somebody and become a covering to them. The same way you can expand your city, your spirit to a city. And it will look for, by the Holy Ghost, look for somebody who is meant to help you in that season. And that person calls you the next day. I call people sometimes and they say, I was thinking about you today. But they didn't tell me and I just called them. Why? My spirit expanded to where they were. And knew that I needed to make contact. Don't worry, we'll do more spirituality tomorrow. So God made the intention for making a woman is a helper. Now, let's read on. Because I'm done with my charge. Back to New King James. He said, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Remember the previous verse, God said, I will make a helper for the man. The reason why he's making the helper for the man is because the man was carrying divine assignment, divine purpose that God knew he could not achieve. The man there can be men, can be males. The man there can also be any earthly system instituted by God to reveal his glory or to advance his kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's not be gender about it. Then the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Now God is about to make a helper. And brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam and he slept. Verse 22 now. And out of the rib, you know this one, 23. He brought the woman to man. And Adam said, according to Dick Nesvicki, let's celebrate God for Dick Nesvicki, please. Amen. It's good. You know, last year we ended with her, so this year we started with her. And according to Dick Nesvicki, she said the man was surprised when he saw the woman. I said, oh. You can do better. Let me inject something into your thoughts to sleep with this night. God just finished declaring that, okay, I'll make a helper. In other words, I will make something that looks like me standing by that man to help him. But the next verse, you see that God brought animals to Adam. But God said, I will make a helper, but he's bringing animals. You know why? Before I give you myself to help you, I need to be sure if you know me and you understand my assignment on your life. No matter how rich that man is, if he's confused about his assignment, you still have the decision to delay the marriage. If you don't marry already, then we need to do damage control now. We need to show you how to start praying for God to encounter him so that he can start. Because God will not send the woman to a man. If the man had looked at a turkey or a peacock with its beautiful feathers like that and just walking by, just I say, oh my God, this is, they have never seen anything like this. This has to be my helper. I'm sure God would have kept the real helper in heaven, isn't it? That man would have failed there. He would have fallen there. Not even chapter 3, would have fallen there. Because how will you fulfill God's purpose in chapter 1? In verse 26, he says, so let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion, and you know all that. And then verse 27, he says, so God created man in his image. Man meaning all flesh, all humans in his image. They carry his identity. And that's what they must discover in their journey through earth. Not how to make money, which is okay. But they must first, that's the root discovery. That image. So God created man in his image, because that is the ticket to every, that's what makes every other thing you discover relevant. And then it says, in the image of God, he created him. Then it says, male and female separated them. Verse 28 tells us why he did it. For the purpose of repopulation. Of course, God was going to improve on himself. The way he created angels, he was not going to create man like that. So he did one prototype and allowed it to multiply. But then in chapter 2, he brought animals. Let's see if this man truly knows me and truly has my image in him to discern the helper. And this is what I believe, that every woman on earth is designed by God, factory setting, as a helper. A helper to all the men in your life. Not just your husband. Because it is not good for the man. He didn't say it's not good for the husband. It is not good for the brother. It is not good for the man. So once a girl child is born, a system of help was sent to earth. But because that individual does not know who they are, can I tell you something? Do you know that even abuse, most times abuse happens in the life of people who are still suffering from identity crisis. It's at a stage where you are not sure of who you are, or you've not discovered who you are, that the devil comes in. That's why before Eve will understand why she was created and sent, chapter 3, the serpent came to her. And you could see that she didn't know, because she was giving disjointed information. Did God say that you should not make, you should not eat of any of the trees in the garden? Wrong question. He said, God didn't say that. He said, but God said that we should eat of all the trees of the garden except the tree in the midst of the garden. Wrong answer. Because in the midst of the garden, there were two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. So when you see a woman giving wrong information, when you see a woman who is mentally retarded, that is a symptom, a symptomatic expression that she doesn't know her identity. Her identity is lost. It's lost in tradition, it's lost in culture, it's lost in her family where her father married four wives, it's lost in her class of 50-something students. All through from primary to secondary to university, is lost in peer influence. That's why she's just doing everything everybody's doing. Because the first thing she should have discovered is why she was created. Every woman is a system of help somewhere. Can I tell you something, man? When God asked me to start ministry, this thing we are doing here is indigenous. We started here. I didn't start from anywhere and came here. And nobody sent me dollars from anywhere and said, go to Maiduguri and prosper. I got to know Apostle Selman just 2 years ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm saying that deliberately, in addition to what she said. In destiny, there are times where you need to learn to rise alone, because there are alone moments in destiny. Alone moments are constructive moments. You will have to learn to believe in yourself. Know what God called you to do and start not waiting for anybody but the help God designed for you. But now there are two aspects to that. You can do that, and somehow, because you know this life has a way of rewarding you. if you are consistent in something, even if you are wrong, you will succeed in it. But some people, maybe they start out in destiny alone, and because of the pain of not being supported, that becomes a trauma. And eventually, when they succeed, they become bad mentors, discouraging everybody that comes around them. They become harsh spouses or harsh, yes. That's the kind of man that will always remind you how he made his money. That's a man that if there's too much stress, say, your family is stressing me. Have you seen that one before? May you never see that one. And if you see it before marriage, please run here for deliverance. The first deliverance is that marriage is cancelled. And you see hell and you are running into it. It's not every open door that is open. The door of a prison, is it an open door? Enter now. Can I wrap up my charge? But you can only be that system of help when you understand and discover your identity. I'm on earth on an assignment. I'm on earth because God had a need. That the systems on earth should not be without divine help. So every woman is an expression of the Holy Ghost. And every system, every family, every church where she finds herself, God sent her as an answered prayer. It's either she is the answer or she's the one to produce the answer. Because why God tells you to pray about everything is not because prayer answers everything. But sometimes prayer can produce the strategy that brings the answer. When we started this ministry, man, you know what God told me? He said, you are going to do full time. He said, because I have a lot of work to do for you to do. You can't afford to work. So start full time. I say, God, this is suicide mission. You are sending me to an IDP state. Who will help me? What am I seeing like this? And I grew up as a pastor's child. I know what it means to, you know what the Bible calls the fellowship of his suffering. I'm not like our guest barrister. You know, barrister is, she's well traveled. Barrister has traveled and lived outside of this country before now. So she has me. I don't even know Benin Republic. Amen. I hope to go in God's time. Amen. God told me, he said, I've positioned women to help you. And I tell you the truth, the first 2 years of ministry, if not for some women God placed around me, I would have gone. I would have packed my bags and left. And you know what? These women, they were not even very rich. Young ladies, newly married, single, just graduated and got a job. And I remember those days when we travel for mission trips to Bauchi, to Biu, and to, yeah. You know all those mission trips where you enter air conditioner, high-ass bus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know Sharon? Hallelujah. You know Sharon? It's only one person that should sit in front, but we'll squeeze inside and sit there. Do you know those kind of journeys where you enter and all you have is your transport? As soon as you paid it, there's no money with you and you don't even know what will happen when you get there. That is faith in practice. House job. You understand? You are forced to, may God bring you to that point in your life where all you have is your faith. Because that's when your faith begins to grow. And that's when you begin to see the possibilities of God. May God bring you there. It was women who, they will send us, it's bishop's account they used to use. They will send money. Send this one. I remember one time they stole my phone. How? I was going to see a man of God to honor him with money and some stuff. I came down from the keke excitedly and left the phone there. And the guy turned and as if he was timing that phone, boom, he sped up. We pursued him for where? That's how I was just looking at the phone going like that. And I was alone, localized. 3 days later, with the touchlight phone, it was a lady that called me. I said, I'm sorry, you couldn't get me. This happened and all. He said, Apostle, they stole your phone. He said, yes. Apostle, I bought a phone 1 week ago and I just lost interest in it. So since I bought it, it's in the park. Please, can you come and get it? I was studying in my house one day. That was in 2019. When from the very foundation, if God had not positioned those people, that's the reason why as a ministry, I decided by the help of God that we will give women their place. because I know what women can do. There's something good about women. Once their heart is connected to something, they don't think. And I know it's good for you to think sometimes, but there are times when this God needs urgency. It doesn't need thinking. It needs conviction. It needs people of faith. Men can be slow about many things. It's when you get there and you didn't capsize, you didn't fall down, you didn't die, that men will say, okay, we are here. Interestingly, many of the no's and negative news I got from the beginning of this ministry came from men. I remember one time we were supposed to use a hall for a meeting, and they brought a pastor from another place, and the pastor sent to see me 2 days to the day we will have the meeting. By this time, we had to shut down for 3 months without meeting. This is not a conference to share with you background. Amen. But I'm just telling you that, you know, get waiting, I never see. It was a man who called me. The man said his plan was that he will allow us to start the meeting, then he will come and drive us. But he just felt that he should tell us that we should politely not hold the meeting. Guess what? This man was my tribe. This man was a pastor. And I've forgiven him long time. So, in Utah Flame, when K-Strings came, on Sunday at the, when I went outside and I saw everybody, I just remembered that time. It was women, strategically. And at every time I will move to a next level, there's always a woman figure God brings. That's why sometimes when you dream and you see yourself breastfeeding and you are not married, there are some times when it is demonic, but not all the time. God is simply showing you that you are going to be a form of help and support to other people. There will be destinies that will be nurtured around you. So how? Sometimes you may be the one that will feed the person. When nobody knows the person as an apostle, you will be the one that will feed the person. Till the person becomes... I heard the story of Apostle Suleiman. When he was doing ministry in the rural areas in Edo State, nobody knew him there. He said there was one mama that would feed them. Kill bushmeat. Feed them for free. They will come free food and go. When God lifted him and blessed him, he went and looked for mama. He saw mama looking unkempt and haggard. As soon as he came, he said, Apostle, welcome. Oh, and they see your picture. Oh, hey, thank God. Oh, waiting I go get for you now. And this one, Apostle just stood there. Tears was coming out of his eyes. He said, mama, when he was tired, he said, mama, come. He took her outside. He had a brand new car for her. He said, enter now your car. She entered. They drove to a house. He bought the house. He said, mama, this is your house. They brought generator. And he placed her on lifetime salary. That's why when God sends people your way to contribute in any way in their life, since you cannot discern who God will lift, because the Bible says promotion does not come from the west, the south, or east, but God is the judge, for he exalts one and he brings down another. Help them, oh, because sometimes the people you help will be your helpers tomorrow. It was the men, the worthless men that David raised in the cave of Adullam in his days of weakness, when a giant that should have slain him, the son of his enemy, years ago, the Bible says one of them, Abishai, stepped forward and slew the giant. If David had abandoned the guy when they were in the cave, nobody would have defended him tomorrow. So you need discernment to know who you are and to know those you are sent to help. When you carry this mentality, you don't go as if you are the one in need. No, you go as the one that is sent to help. That's why no man can use money to bait you around. No, you are sent to help. Even if you don't have money now, you have your needs. You have your needs. This guy that is earning 200,000 with an NGO and is using you to do, what they call that kind of play, 10-10. You don't have anything now, no problem, but you have your needs. A billionaire may need those needs. I think I can end here. So identity. You discover it, number one, by an encounter with Jesus. It was Jesus in Matthew 16:16-18 that named Simon Peter. Right? But you know, anytime Peter moved in the flesh, he will call him Simon. Yeah. Anytime Peter moved in his spirit, he called him Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. He said, blessed are thou, Simon, son of Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. He said, you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter. Right?
Great.
John 21, after denying Jesus, Peter now took the main disciples among the 12. I go a fishing. I'm sure that Jesus knew it was the Father's will that Peter should become the first pioneer of the church. If not, I'm very sure it was Jesus, he wouldn't have given Peter. Just the way he told them when they say, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not me or you, it's the Father that knows. That's why Jesus had to come in chapter 21. And you could tell that Jesus didn't come because he was happy. He came because it was the will of the Father. How? He addressed them, he said, children. When you see a man calling grown-up men with family children, just to say, wahala de. You know, there's a way your spiritual father, your mentor will look at you, just know you don't, something don't happen. So start sending apology, both in the spirit and in the flesh. Peter did that in the flesh. What did he call him? Simon. He called him Simon 3 times. Lovest thou me? So will Jesus call you by your identity in him? Or will he call you by the identity of the flesh? And I believe that God is doing an identity remolding for us. You know, Jacob blessed his children based on their natural identity, because that gave birth to their character. Levi and Simeon, they were angry children. Why? Because they were giving birth to at a time when their mother was at war with her younger sister. In fact, the first 3 children of Leah, all of them, she named them according to her fight with Rachel. Because Jacob didn't like her. He loved. So go and check the meaning of Reuben. Say, my husband go hear me now. For where? Then he gave birth to Simeon. At least I've given 2 sons. For where? Levi. He said, now I've given my husband 3 sons. My husband will be joined to me. That's why Levi means join. In fact, Jacob was looking at Rachel the more. Leah now said, you know what? Even if you don't look me any, at least God, they look me. I'll praise God. She gave birth to Judah the 4th and called him Judah. Judah means. But when Moses came, so Jacob gave them their names and he gave them their destinies. And it's funny that Jacob never named any of his children apart from Benjamin. And barrister said men should not give their authority to. That's because all that time Jacob was a carnal man. Jacob's spiritual journey started in Genesis chapter 32. When he was called Israel. That's why I think it's chapter 33 or 34 now. When Rebekah was to die and she called Benjamin Benonin, he said, no! I've been here and all you people have been naming your children according to your beef. He said, this one shall be called son of my right hand. And that name powered the destiny of Benjamin. That's why he spoke to Benjamin. He said, Benjamin shall be like a ravenous wolf that devours the prey in the morning and gathers the spoil in the evening. Guess what? Benjamin in Judges chapter 20 and 21, Benjamin did something against the tribe of Israel. Benjamin was wrong. Israel went to fight them and lost the battle 3 times. Why? Because there was an identity powering the destiny of a tribe. But when Moses came, he didn't bless them or position their future according to their natural identities, because he birthed it from priesthood. He said, let Reuben live and not die. Let his men be few. He said, Asher shall dip his foot in oil. That's the anointed tribe. That's why Anna the prophetess, who midwived the coming of Jesus thousands of years later, was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of where? Asher. Let's talk about more tomorrow. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Let's pray one prayer before we go. And it's a prayer it's a teaching from Barrister. I want you to lay your right hand on your head. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. in this conference by the spirit of revelation. Be as vocal as your destiny demands. Say in the name of Jesus. In this conference, by the spirit of revelation, I receive the understanding of my identity in Christ Jesus, unique to me. Pray for 60 seconds. Open your mouth. With your hands on your head. Open your mouth. It said that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Pray. Shambaratelabahasi. By the spirit of understanding. Then I asked the Lord, what name fits you? And he said, yeah, Alabakaria Tosuko boy. Then I asked the Lord, what name fits you? And he said, yeah, Akabaya Korea Basia. Say yeah, the hollow one, yeah, the hollow one, yeah, the holy one, Yahweh. Say yeah, the hollow one, yeah, Yahweh. Number two, you are going to pray for the spirit of excellence to rest on you. Listen to me. Look at me. Tomorrow I'll talk to you about warfare. Based on, you know, I spoke with Barrister. I said, wherever you go, I will just come and compliment. I want to talk to you about how to fight the battles of destiny. One of the greatest battles a man can fight is the battle of mental retardation. Your destiny is at the mercy of your mind. Do you know that there are foundational forces that fight the retardation of your mind? Retardation means your mind is not able to expand in thinking, in creativity, in innovation beyond. In fact, there's something I call ICE. There's an anointing I call ICE. ICE. Innovation, creativity, and excellence is an anointing. You can pray this night over yourself. When you go, that's what you pray. All right? When we started this ministry, for 1 year and 6 months, if I'm correct, I was praying Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Every day. I forgot praying about money. Except when I was very broke. I say, Lord, I need money. And you said, hallelujah. That's why when God is trying to make a deal with you, just accept it, because at the promises of God are yea and amen. See, let me tell you something about God. If God has made you a promise for everlasting, you can hold him to that promise. So long as your requirement of obedience is done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God says to you, anytime you call, I will answer. Wallahi, even in the toilet. Call him, and if he delays, say, God! The angel they send, they will slap him from heaven and say, well, are you hearing what I'm saying? That is how men rise. Oh, every great man has a covenant with God. They have a secret God gave them. Sometimes one sentence. And for 20, 30, 40 years, they'll just go and press that thing and say, oh yeah, God. Because he's a covenant keeper. If God is making a deal with you, don't just accept. So that anywhere the shoe pinch, you say, hey! Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you can only say that, hey, when your obedience is complete, oh, because for you, for God to even make that deal with you, you would have passed series of tests of obedience. Yeah. You know that kind of obedience that you become angry as you're obeying God. For 2 weeks you are angry with God, you don't pray for 3 days. That place you used to kneel down to pray, just look at it and say, God, you know, just see me in the spirit, I'm there. Amen. I remember one time I traveled, and before leaving, we were praying somewhere. And I was praying, and this was a few years ago, and the Lord told me, he said, son, do you love me? I said, I know where they go with that question. I know you. I said, yes, but I love you. He said, all right, give me $1,000. When you are asking a pastor in Maiduguri, you will don't understand. I've not been on any allowance since the birthing of this ministry. Do you know that kind of ministry where you have giants from here and here? Nalayo. Are you hearing me? Now you, the one way you do for me. I said, I'll give you. I came back, counted the money, gave. The person I gave was even shaking and looking at me. Entered the plane, went to Abuja. When I arrived, the first thing that greeted me was $1,000. Then another one came, 200, 100. God waited for the money to become plenty. Dollars and naira. Then the next day, while I was praying, of all things to tell me when I prayed, he said, take everything there. It's not about the money. When you see God making demands that are inhuman, it's violation of human rights, according to you, he's pushing you somewhere. He wants to cut covenant with you. And it's a covenant that you and your children and children's children can handle. You are going to pray for the spirit of excellence upon your life. The spirit of creativity. The spirit of innovation. The spirit that allows you to think beyond your territory. That allows you to think beyond your peers. Let it fall on my life by divine revelation. Open your mouth in 60 minutes and pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Pray before we close tonight. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. Please pray. You will be glorified. Unto you be all glory and honor and praise. You will be glorified. Unto you, unto you. Spirit of excellence. Connecting my faith with our guests tonight, and I decree in the name of Jesus, by the spirit of revelation, let excellence become a mindset around your life. Let the chains of mental strongholds fall off your mind this night. Anything that makes your mind think like your language people, it falls off your mind right now. May your transformation be quick. May your reinvention will be with speed. It will be difficult for people to trace where you come from biologically, because the excellence that you will exude will be from above. Your amen needs a recharge card. In the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. I think we can shut down tonight. Amen. Are you blessed? Thank you very much, Barrister, for being here and for being a blessing. We love you and we honor you. Thank you so much.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.